We are in our series we started last Sunday. It's so good to see you and online. Welcome. We're going through the Lord's Prayer. And the reason I think it's so important because Jesus prayed this, and no important words than he could say that I will ever say. So we're taking this one phrase at a time, going through the Lord's Prayer. And in this, why am I doing this? Because we have so many misconceptions about who our Father is, because of maybe our own earthly father has kind of skewed those interpretations of really who God is. So I just wanted us to help us understand what God is really like and the truth about our Heavenly Father by going through this prayer. And the Bible says there are four characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And last Sunday, we started it off with this series talking about our God who is a caring Father. That was point number one, the God who is a caring Father. He's caring because he loves you more than you'll ever know. He loves you more than you could ever understand or even comprehend. So we're talking last week about God's caring for us, that God loves you. He created you to love you. It said in Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor him. So Jesus wants to help you in his life, and he wants to show you that he is our caring Father. So we stopped at point number one last week, and I'm going to go through the next three today. And as you're listening to this, if you get all four of these and you're okay with all four of these and you're growing and you say, I get it, Pastor Drew, that is awesome. God bless you. Take those four things. Go out and encourage somebody this week with these four thoughts. But if you struggle like I do, trying to comprehend who all God is for you, that he's a caring Father, and as we go through the next three, take notes on these, how you can better your life and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. So, if you feel distant from God this morning, if you feel kind of awkward and feel kind of like pushed back and you're not really that close to God, you feel like sometimes he's just like a million miles away, is because we probably don't understand the kind of caring Father that he really is. The next thought this morning is point number two about our Heavenly Father, and that is this. Number two is that he is a consistent Father. He is consistent and everything that he does. That is point number two. That's really important because everything around us is changing. Do you agree with that? You're going to wake up tomorrow and thought, my gosh, what else could happen? What else is going on? Another thing in our world is changing quicker than we know it. But God is a consistent Father. He will never let you down. God will never change. You can always count on him. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. On the screen, it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from the Father. That means everything that you have in life, every good thing you have in life is from God. The air that you're breathing today is from God. The fact you are alive today is a gift from God. He is a consistent Father in your life. He changes not. The second part of that verse is in James 1:17. Part B says this, who changes not like the shifting shadows. You ever take a walk and you look down on the ground and you can see your shadow, and then you turn the corner, your shadow goes this way and you turn the corner, or the longer you walk, your shadow goes longer and longer and longer. Pretty soon you got a long shadow, or you're outside, there's a building that casts a shadow and the sun moves and that shadow goes this way. That's talking about a shifting shadow. It changes because the object changes. So when the object changes, the shadow changes. I'm here on the platform, I can see my shadow. As I move around, the shadow behind me is going to shift and change. The consistency about your Father is this. God never changes. The shadows around your life changes. God never changes. I've been around young adults in the former church where Leanne and I were, and around the young adults where I work. And then you hear some of them start saying things in their life that captures my attention. I've heard teenagers say, growing up, I never knew how my dad was really going to treat me. It could be Monday morning. When did my dad give me a hug or my dad give me a slug? Will my dad accept me or my dad going to kind of reject me this morning? What kind of mood is my dad in today? Is he going to be silent or is he going to be violent? So they go through life thinking, what side of the bed did my dad wake up on today? So they get a little scared. And the conclusion is they walk away. They feel empty. They feel confused because their father was so fickle. Their father, whether he's in a good mood or a bad mood, whether he's watching sports, paying attention to me or not, they just didn't know how dad was going to react today. It just depended upon dad's mood. The thing about God, he's not moody. You realize that? God is not moody. He's your heavenly father. God is consistent. He does not have a bad hair day. He did not wake up on the wrong side of the bed each morning. He didn't wake up grumpy or frustrated with you. God does not do that. He doesn't say, wow, Pastor Drew, I've had a really tough night. So who am I going to zap this morning? Sometimes we walk around thinking that. We're afraid of God. What's he going to do? Or God doesn't go around thinking, you know, man, you just really ticked me off today. We think of God like that. We think he's grumpy. We think he's moody. We think he's going to zap us. But he is a consistent father. He's not moody. God is not fickle with you. One of the things that I can count on from God every day towards me, that God is consistent with Pastor Drew. He's also consistent in his love for you as well. 2 Timothy 2:13 on the screen, it says, even if we were, watch this, even if we were faithless, he remains what? Faithful. For he cannot disown himself. God cannot do anything but be faithful. He is consistent. Even though my faith lacks, even though I have a bad temper, God is still consistent and he will remain faithful to me. He cannot disown himself is what the verse says. We know you walk outside today, you're going to face tomorrow, Monday morning. The world is ever changing around you. In fact, it's changing faster and faster every day. You agree with that? You agree it's changing? I watch your prayer requests. You put them in, you online, you give us your prayer requests and pray for. Your life changes every day. What you do, I get texts. Pray for me, Pastor Drew. This is going on. It's changing. You know, years ago, Alvin Toffler, he wrote a book called Future Shock. And in his book, which he said, times of rapid change, people need what he calls islands of stability. He said they need an anchor, a spiritual, emotional anchor to hang on to when everything else is flying off the wall. When everything else is up in the air, you need something in your life that absolutely never changes. So set your anchor in for the anchor of your soul. You need an island, he says, of stability in order to handle the stress. Sounds good, but there's a problem. And the problem is this. On this planet Earth that we live on, everything changes. I don't care if it's your relationships, they change. Your wealth, they change. Your job, they change. How many of you have a job career change since you've been born? How many of you have still the same job? Not one hand. Jobs change, wealth changes, the economy changes, nations won't last. Everything on this planet is temporary. So I'm here to say to you this morning about your father that he is a consistent father. There's only one thing that will not change, and that is God himself. We need to hold on to that. So if you want to make it through the times that you're going through, whatever the interest is, rates going on in this world, things are climbing higher and higher. Food prices are just crazy high. All this is changing, and we think, how are we going to make it? I can tell you what, put your anchor in Jesus Christ. Put your anchor in your father because he's a consistent father and he will not change. There's only one thing that will last and will not change, and that is God. He says this in the scriptures, God will never go back on his promises. We read that and we think, yeah, of course he won't. He's God. But do you really consider that verse? God will never go back on his promises. That's an amazing thing to me because you look at all the different religions in this world. We're not talking this morning about religion. We're talking about relationship with your heavenly Father. All the religions in this world have a God who is man-made, a God who's fickle, a God who's moody. You talk to them, they're trying to appease their God. We don't appease our God. He is God, and he never changes. And that's the true God that we worship this morning. Malachi 3:6 says this, I, the Lord, do not change. You've got to rest in the fact that God is consistent in your life. The Bible says that God will never go back on his promise. You know, the greatest resentment, as I was reading this, with children is because they don't have consistent parents. The number one cause of resentment in children is broken promises. But Dad, you promised. But Mom, you promised me. You promised me this. It causes rebellion and resentment in the children because they don't understand the true Heavenly Father. We rely so much on our earthly mom and dad that we think God is the same way. So we transfer everything that we know about our earthly mom and dad, and we transfer it to God, and we think, well, God changes. God breaks his promises. He does not. I'm not consistent as a father. You weren't consistent as a parent. We understand that. So how do you help somebody that's growing up in all these changes? Here's how you help them. You help them understand their Heavenly Father. That number one, last week, he's caring. And today, he is consistent. The faithfulness of God, that God loves you, and find a way to show your children and the people around you that you do have a consistent father. The third thing is this. He is a close father. He is a close father. So we have a caring father. We have a consistent father. Now we have a close father. What do I mean by that? That he is not distant. God is closer than you could ever imagine. He is close as your next heartbeat. God is closer than the air that is in your lungs, the blood that is in your veins this morning. God is closer than that because he wants to be near to you and he wants to be close to you. It says this in Acts 17:27 on the screen. The Bible says, God did this. What did he do? Everything he did in history, it says, God did this so that people would reach out for him and find him, since he is not far from each one of us. You know, a lot of people struggle that. They feel like God is just so far away. I pray, but he just doesn't feel like he's close to me. I pray, but he just feels so distant from me. I wish, I wish I could just find him, that he was closer and near to me when I pray. But when I pray, it just feels like it just bounces off the ceiling and comes right back down. I just can't seem to shake this. For a lot of us, we struggle with this. We struggle with it since we were young kids to growing up now to our young adults to even older adults. Some of us grew up with absentee dads. Maybe dad just was never there from them. So it's pretty easy to take that once again and convert that over to our Heavenly Father. My dad wasn't around. My mom wasn't around much when I really needed him. So they just think that God's not around when I'm here. Where is God in all this? I pray, but where is God? I thought he would answer. I thought he loved me. I thought he was consistent. I thought now that he was a close father. So it's pretty easy to take what we've learned here on this earth and transfer it to our Heavenly Father and say, okay, God, where are you? I thought you were close to me. The truth of the matter, that God is close, and a lot of us struggle with that. There was a study that was done starting back in the 70s to current situation. Back in the 70s until now, because of the two-parent family, a lot of stresses on two jobs, two incomes, two of everything, it seemed like, in the family. A lot of stress that was put on the family because mom and dad both had to get a job. Mom and dad both had to do it. Some of you that are single, it seems like you take two jobs just to make it through life. That one job is not going to cut it. So the average family has parenting, spends up to 22 hours less with kids than they did before the 70s. 22 hours a week less with the kids. So a lot of families have struggled with this. Because of this, you can easily see how the difficult times understanding how God is close to you, because mom and dad were not close. They were so busy. They were busy trying to provide, doing good things, but they were just so busy. They were never close to me growing up when I needed them. And because of this, many of us go into this thing where we begin to try, like many do with parents growing up, with children, we begin to try to earn God's love. What do I mean by that? And so in our spiritual life, we try to earn God's love. Can I help you this morning? You cannot earn God's love. He is consistent. He's caring until he's close to you. Incredible gift. God's gift to you is his love. It's himself. God has given that to you. You cannot earn it. But we try to earn it. You try to earn it. Some of us, and these are good things, don't get me wrong. Some of us, if I go to church today, God's got to be pleased with me. Well, he is. But you can't earn God's love by going to church. Well, if I pray, if I come Monday nights, if I go to Bible studies, if I go to Thursday night, God's got to love me more. He can't love you anymore. Remember, he's consistent. He doesn't change. He will always love you. You cannot earn God's love. Well, if I tithe, you should, because it's right. God's not going to love you more or any less if you do or you don't. because he never changes. He will always love you. So what do we try to do? We try to earn God's love. You cannot earn God's love. So let me take the burden off your life this morning. You got a bulletin handout when you came in. Flip it over to the back. There's a sentence there. I'm going to fill in the blank for you this morning. This is so powerful. If you get this morning, get this. The most freeing word in the world, if you're trying to earn God's love, is this. Stop. Just stop. You cannot earn God's love. It should be so freeing to you. You can't do it. He loves you, and he will never change that on his behalf. You know, it's like kids at Christmas time. Could you imagine this? If you have kids or you have, I don't know, friends or family, and you give out gifts and you wrap them, or you give it to somebody that you really love, and you give them a gift, and after all the gift giving is over and all the presents are unwrapped, and if you have kids especially, they go outside and they start washing your car. What? Then they go upstairs and they start cleaning their bedroom. Really? And then they start vacuuming and dusting for mom. Then they start taking out the trash. And wait. And you say, really? What are you doing that for? Well, I'm just trying to earn every gift that you just gave me at Christmas. He said, no, you don't have to. We want them to do that. We know they don't have to. Why? Because it's a gift. They're trying to what? Earn their love from you. You know, you gave them a gift because you love them. It's the same way with God. He loves you. That's his gift to you through his son, Jesus Christ. You can't go out and earn it. He loves you. He's a caring father. He's a close father. In Psalm 145, 18 on the screen, this is how close he is. The Lord is near to all who call on him. That is a promise that the Lord is near to you this morning. Every time you call, God is right there for you. Some of you think when you stop and pray, you think, oh gosh. You think God's saying, oh, here he is again, or here she is again. You know, Pastor Drew, there's 100 people in line. Get in line. Get behind them. I got a lot of people to take care of today. So take your turn. Get where you need to be. We think that about God. We think that we're interrupting God. We think that we're just butting in. And God says, no. I am near to you to call on me. And that is God's great love for us, that he is near to us. So when we think about this, when you think about God, that God knew you before you were born. He knew you every moment of every day. God thinks about you more than you think about yourself because he loves you. The truth is sometimes, too many times, I get too busy for God. But God gets never too busy for Pastor Drew. He loves me. That's encouraging. So as I walk you through this, the number one thing that I want to stop here and just dwell on that is that God is never too busy for me. God is never too busy for you. The Lord is near to all that call upon him. The second thought under this is that God loves to meet my needs. God wants to meet your needs. God loves you. He wants to meet every need that you have. In Matthew 7:11, it says this, what Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts who ask him? One of the greatest things God loves to do, he loves to give. He loves to give you good gifts. He wants to take care of you because he loves you. He cares for you. And there's something else, and that is this, that he's a sympathetic to my hurts. In Psalm 34:18, it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe your heart was broken last week. Maybe your heart was broken last year. But through time, as we walk through our different weeks, those memories come back. Those difficult days come back. The times that you were hurt or lost a loved one or something tragic happened in your family. The Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. I love the nearness of God. This is probably one of the most powerful of the four that I want to reach out to today, that God is near to you, that he knows where you are, that he loves you. It says in the Middle Eastern world, one of the first words that young boys learn in the Middle East is Abba. The most intimate form for the word father is Abba or Papa or Daddy. This is the word in Aramaic that Jesus used when he taught us to pray. He said, our Father, which translated our daddy, our papa. Isn't that great that he is so near that not only do you get to call him Father, you get to call him Daddy. You get to call him Papa. He's your Father. He's your Heavenly Father. This is a term when God says, you did call me Father. Call me Daddy. You know, I wrote this down. I was thinking, you know, when my three children were growing up, and if you have kids, you're going to relate to this. They always want money, don't they? To do this, money to do that. You're laughing because you know it's true. Daddy, you got a couple dollars for this. Daddy, can I borrow money for this? Could you imagine if one of my children came up to me and said this? Oh, most omnipotent Father, Father of the bountiful Lockerbie clan, I come to you greeting you this morning. Thou who dost so sovereignly and magnificently bestow our heavenly allowance to me. We beseech you for the bounty of cash that we might abide in the house of the motion picture today. My kids came up to me. I'd scratch my head and say, what? Huh? I'm your dad. I'm not the omnipotent father of the Lockerbie clan. Call me dad. What do you want? You want money? I can help you. But we come to God sometimes with all these flowery, majestic land. Just call him dad. Just call him daddy. Call him father. That's who he is. Just come for him respectfully that he is your father. And here's the last one. He's a competent father. He's a competent father. This really is important when you're facing big problems in life. And I know most of you are. Some of you more than others. That the Bible tells us that he is a competent father, that he can handle any problem that you give him. He is beyond the ability to do whatever you ask or whatever you think. Nothing is beyond God's ability. Nothing, as you know, is too hard for your Father. Nothing is beyond his resources. Nothing that says, Pastor Drew, or who put your name in there, I don't have the time. I'm too busy. I don't have the money today. Come to me tomorrow. Could you imagine God saying that? I'm a little bit short on cash today. I'm a little bit short on resources today to help you out. So God comes to you and says, I don't have the energy to help you. Let me just rest a little bit, put my feet up. Could you imagine God saying to you as your father those examples? No. No request is too big or too small for God. Nothing is too big for God. You know, I think of this, and I don't take it lightly. This is all small stuff to God. We think it's huge, and it is. We think it's just ginormous, and it is. But nothing is too big for God. It's all small stuff for him. But we take it like, God, you can't handle this. I can't come to you with this. It's too big. So we try to worry about it a little bit longer. So you can throw your biggest problem on God, and he is competent father. Nothing is beyond his ability. It's like two kids I heard were bragging at school, and one says, yeah, my dad can beat up your dad. And the other one looks at him, yeah, so my mom can beat up your dad too. Yeah, but John, I want to let you know that nobody can beat up your heavenly father. Nobody can beat up your heavenly father. It's impossible for anybody to beat up on your heavenly father. Nobody can. Because it says in the scriptures, nothing is impossible with God. If you're going to write one word down this morning, besides the word stop on the back of your bulletin, put the word impossible. Could you write that down? Impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So I was thinking this week, maybe we should cut out the word impossible from our own vocabulary. Because God's already cut it out of his own vocabulary. Could you imagine if you came to God with a request, he said, sorry, that one's just a little bit too big for me. That's a little bit impossible for me. I don't think I can do that. You don't see God ever saying that because the scripture says nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with your heavenly Father. So if he cut it out of his vocabulary, I certainly want to cut it out of my vocabulary with my heavenly Father that nothing is impossible with God. It says in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do far more than we could what? Ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires and thoughts and our hopes. So let me ask you a very poignant question this morning before I close. What have you been doubting that God can't handle in your life? Remember last week we talked about casting? You got something that you barely can pick up. And what does God say about casting all your cares? Just drop it. Just drop it. So let me ask you this week, what are you carrying around that you think is too impossible for God? That you've been just lugging it around week after week, month after month, carrying it, that you think is impossible with your Heavenly Father? God specializes this morning in impossibilities. He loves to show himself strong on our behalf. Because he's caring, because your Heavenly Father is consistent, because your Heavenly Father is close, because your Heavenly Father is competent, and he wants you to call him Abba, Father, Daddy, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. When we understand what God is really like, you will want to reverence his name. When you understand that he is your Father, you will reverence his name. Hallowed be thy name. So I close with this. Is God everybody's Father? No. Absolutely not. He's not everybody's Father. Yes, God created everybody. God does love everybody. But the sad fact, he's not everybody's Father. Because why? You have to choose to make him your Heavenly Father. God's the creator of everybody. Sure, that's true. And God loves everybody. That is true. God wants everybody to be in his family. That is true. But you're not in his family until you received him as your Heavenly Father. You have to choose as your Heavenly Father. Will you stand with me as we close in prayer? If you're watching online or you're here this morning, I just wanted to help you understand those four facts about your Heavenly Father. Over 2,000 years ago, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, that's why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth, to make that connection. And that's what this series is all about, connecting with God. Because God is perfect and we're not. God is holy and I'm not. We needed a bridge. We needed a mediator to connect God to man. And that happened through Jesus Christ on the cross. It says, God for so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it was on the cross between God and man that Jesus bridged that gap so we can be connected with God. How do you get in God's family? It's only through faith. Believing that he died on the cross, believing that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and by receiving that gift into our lives and asking God's forgiveness. As I was reading the Bible once again this week, there's not one verse that says we need to connect to God through religion. There's not one verse I could find that says we need to connect to God by being perfect. And certainly, there's not a single verse that says that we need to connect to God by promising to never sin again. There is verses that say we connect to God through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. So if you're here this morning or watching online, I just invite you maybe to say a prayer that goes like this. And as you understand that, it's not the prayer that gets you into heaven. It's faith, believing what Jesus did. So if you want to say a prayer that might go like this, dear Father, I want you to be my Heavenly Father. I want to be your son or your daughter. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to make that connection for me and to make it possible for me to be a part of your family. I believe in you. I believe you died for me. And from this point on, I want to put my trust in you. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for being close. And thank you for being my competent Father to handle every issue that I will ever have. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.